Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We go to Peru, where the trouble has been constant and incalculable since December 7th, and the removal of Pedro Castillo, the elected president of Peru. At the same time, President Boluarte, who was the vice president, is troubled by the protests outside of the capital, the protests in the capital. And now, protests and roadblocks in Peru's southern Andes, reports Reuters, have hardened after Congress failed to bring forward elections, jamming up much of the region, which is rich in copper and historic Incan sites like Machu Picchu. Congress has rejected multiple bills for early elections, a key demand by protesters, including shelving a proposal by President Boluarte on Friday. Protests have snarled the Andean nation, clashes between demonstrators, 48 dead, worst violence in Peru in two decades. Professor, each week we've been attending to this, and each week it gets worse or more difficult to summarize. Is President Boluarte at this point in control of the situation, or is she riding the waves? Thank you.
John, President Boluarte, I think, is trying to make the best of a bad hand, although she is in a politically very fragile condition, despite, I think, again, you know, continuing to have the support of Peru's institutions and in the Peruvian military and others. But essentially, Boluarte knows that she does not have a whole lot of political space. On the one hand, the party that brought her and as vice president and President Castillo to power, radical left Peru Libre Party has essentially turned on her, the more radical elements. On the other, and certainly Castillo's supporters who come from the remote areas of Peru in the mountains, especially places like Arequipa, and are really frustrated and looking for a dramatic change. And yet at the same time, the fragmented Peruvian Congress, where you have as many as 13 separate voting blocks in the Congress itself, you know, controlled by somebody who is much farther to the right of Boluarte. So Boluarte is kind of trapped. You have a lot of frustration being expressed. There are up to 90 different roadblocks that are going on. It's impacted the ability of people to get supplies into those regions, including supplies that help the mines run, which generate really the lifeblood of the Peruvian economy. But the Congress, which understands that if you vote to move elections, Boluarte's already moved them up from 2026, which was her right to continue until the end of Castillo's term, moving them up until 2024. But again, with the protests continuing, wanting some type of change, the proposal to move them up as early as October 2023, with the new president then coming in December of this year. Congress, which again is this represent the end to essentially their sinecure, because they cannot be reelected. They're in no hurry to put an end to their own political career and move on to a new Congress. And so I think for the third time, they basically voted down a proposal to move up elections farther. And so essentially, Boluarte is stuck with protests, roadblocks that are crippling the Peruvian economy. People are continuing to get more frustrated. It's moved even into Lima. And yet the institutions in Peru, by contrast to the political structure, continues to, I think, hold firm with her role as the least current constitutional president. So things are probably not going to get better for a while, but at least for the moment, her physical situation as president and certainly that of a pretty effective prime minister who's been one of the sources of strength behind her, Alberto Otarola, is continuing for the moment.
Outside actors. We've spoken of China and Russia in Venezuela and Colombia. However, there are reports that Evo Morales is active in Peru. That would make sense. It's a neighboring country. But Cuba, Does Cuba or Havana gain in some fashion with this disruption in Peru? They seem very far apart. I can't tell whether Peru, whether Cuba acts as just a prankster in the region or whether there's some overall plan to radicalize Peru or to lead it into anarchy. I can't tell, Professor. Is there anything like that possible?
Well, Cuba is certainly believed to be playing one role among other actors, and probably through Vladimir Cerón, the Cuba-educated radical, leftist neurosurgeon who is the head of the Peru Libre Party that originally brought both Castillo and Boluarte to power. There's a broader pattern in which, generally, as occurred in October 2019 in Ecuador and perhaps in Chile and perhaps even in Colombia and other places, that the left in Cuba with an interest in helping to bring more Cuba-friendly regimes will influence and weaponize protests at the margin with, again, the hope of achieving destabilization and political change in their interest. And so what you have with the current protest is some indications that, again, Cuba through Cerón may have been a factor in trying to radicalize these and help to further kind of the shutting down of the Peruvian economy through these protests. But there is a lot of legitimate frustration of the people who see Castillo as their person. And frankly, even beyond the ousting of Castillo on December 7th, who are just deeply frustrated with the broader performance of the Peruvian government in COVID, in dealing with inflation, and in dealing with their interest in development, and in dealing with corruption that's brought about five different presidential successions in short order. So there's a lot of accumulated frustration, but certainly both elements probably from Cuba and the Chavistas, in addition to others, as you alluded to, the Andean highlands, places like Juliaca in the border between the Bolivian highlands and the adjacent Peruvian highlands, where some of Evo Morales' supporters may have also been contributing to stirring up the trouble. So there's a range, unfortunately, of bad actors in an increasingly desperate situation.
There is the positive from Reuters that the data of electricity needs, power needs at the big copper mines in Peru continues. There's been no diminution in energy demand, suggesting to Reuters that the copper mines remain open and functioning, especially Las Bambas, which is owned by China's MMG Limited, and Glencore's Antapaque, also continuing, although they worried about having to disrupt their production. The reason I mention those is it's vital to the people of Peru because of their income and the people in the region who work the mines. But also, I learned that the world demand on copper is complete. I mean, we need all the copper all the time. And any cutback or hesitation or stoppage in Chile would affect the supply chain and the price worldwide. So Peru, although it happens in Peru, it doesn't stay in Peru is my measure. Is that scale of concern in Washington, Professor? Can you tell if they understand the Peruvian governance problem could lead to worldwide economic constraints?
Well, right now, John, the what could happen with the Peruvian copper is probably more directly an item of concern for the political stability of Peru. Although, certainly a reduction in Peruvian copper production would impact, push up global copper prices. Now, the prices have been helped on the low side by the fact that one of the greatest sources of demand, the People's Republic of China, up until previously under the zero COVID regime, wasn't demanding as much as it used to. Now, with the end of zero COVID and the acceleration of Chinese production and demand in a number of different areas, that will put more pressure on that. However, right now it's fungible enough that you're not going to be seeing major industrial disruptions because of a lack of copper. But again, you're right. The ability to produce more will be it has limits. What Chile can produce, for example, as the alternative major copper producer is limited. But also going to the situation in Peru, basically the issue is that right now production at Las Bambas, that the Chinese operated mine that's responsible alone for 2% of the world's copper production, as well as the Glencore's facility Antapaché, which recently resumed its operations. They're able to keep going for a while because, again, they have at least enough of the material inputs to continue to pull things out of the mine. There's a couple of different risks. I mean, the one is that to what degree can they actually take that production and get it out to markets, or do they have to just essentially stockpile in their limited storage capabilities what they can produce? And then of course beyond that the question of how are other aspects of the Peruvian economy in terms of the ability of people to get the food and things that they need, that the medicine to keep surviving on a daily basis. Those type of disruptions are probably, in addition to the lost revenue from the inability to get essentially the copper to the port, putting the Peruvian economy at risk and putting the Peruvian livelihoods at risk. And it's, again, that putting the livelihoods at risk, that especially for vulnerable people in urban areas affected by inflation and things like that. For example, around the greater Lima area, places like Cono Norte, that accelerates the anxiety, that accelerates the political frustration. And really, at the end of the day, those blockades, part of the political objective is to create enough anxiety that you create a cascading effect that to ultimately collapse the Boluarte government. So it's really those political effects that come out of the economic effects that means that Boluarte is kind of running against the clock to try to weather the storm.
The professor mentions inflation. We're headed to the land of inflation, Argentina. This is the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies through our many varied programs, including free safety equipment donations, free officer survival training, cash donations, and condolence letters to the family of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty. USDSA also offers college scholarships for the dependent children of law enforcement, along with the Citizen Awareness Program and thank you cards to law enforcement. These are just some of the ways United States Deputy Sheriff's Association assists America's law enforcement and the citizens they serve. For more information about United States Deputy Sheriff's Association or to see how you can help, visit www.usdeputy.org. United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, taking training to the next level, because lives are on the line.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.